Well, good morning. It's been a little while. I have been, as you might know, God has sent me to a new area, and that entails setting up new stuff, as God's always establishing, and he's moving people around and moving things around, and that means there's work to be done. So. But you can't sacrifice the time of prayer and the word, and that's the most important thing. And but as God's changing things around within the church structure and raising up a new generation of leadership in the church, because of corruption that has ended the church leadership, which doesn't obey the Lord is removing that church leadership and he's establishing the new church leadership in the church. And it is against the will of the people, but it's the will of God, and it's foreordained, and it's coming forth now in the earth. So you can look forward to that and be excited for the new leadership that God is placing within the church. And the beautiful thing about it is that those who are coming up into the church are already rebellious against natural leadership, therefore they do not recognize the current leadership of the church anyway, and those who are being established as the new leadership of the church have gone very low into the earth and into the valleys to flood those souls with milk so that they can enter the kingdom. And as they've now entered the kingdom and have begun to drink and eat and begin to gain their scrolls in their destinies, that they know their leaders because of the milk that they've been drinking. And it's a beautiful day, it's a new day. Let's all rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Amen. Well, I'm excited for it. 2:22 on the clock, lacking wisdom. 25:11:21. Yesterday, today's 26th. Today we're looking at James 1:5. Let me just bring it up for you. I'm going to do it a little bit differently today. We're going to look at some of that stuff, but I will share a little bit about Apostle. And the calling there, and share some wisdom around all of that. So, if any of you lacks wisdom, James 1:5 says, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Wisdom is the Greek word there is Sophia. It means to have insight, it means to bring clarity, have clarity in your life. You know who you are, you know your calling, you have clarity. And you are skilled, human skill and divine skill, and full of intelligence. You have an art of using wisdom. There's an art in using wisdom. The affection is for wisdom. So wisdom, clarity in yourself, and clarity, you bring clarity to other situations and others in the natural and in the divine. So the art of using wisdom is that you're skilled in the natural. With intelligence, ability, and insight, but you're also skilled in the divine. Amen. So, in that, and then there's an art of how you apply and use that wisdom. Okay. Wisdom is broad and full of intelligence, and it's used of the knowledge of the very diverse matters. So, the art of interpreting dreams and always giving the sagest advice, it's supreme intelligence. Okay, it says, in all you're getting, get wisdom. Okay, wisdom is the highest price. It is the pearl of great price. It is the Lord himself. That is who wisdom is. Wisdom is an angel of the Lord. Wisdom is Jesus Christ himself. Okay. Who is skill? Who is insight? Who is human divine intelligence? Who is clarity? Okay. And so the word there lacking, so if any of you lacks wisdom, well, the word lack means to be lacking. It actually means to be absent. to fail or to leave behind or to have forsaken or to come behind in a race and to fall short. So if you lack wisdom, hey, yeah. I just want to also say that the Lord is raising up a very different leadership. And be kind to those who are entering the kingdom. And just because they haven't come through your church club doesn't mean that they're not chosen, and then they are not the will of God. Apostles sent into cities is the will of God for that region. Okay. It's so sad to see. People removed from leadership and removed from their offices because they fail to see the body and they fail to see what God's doing. Okay. So lack is to leave behind or to be lacking and to be absent. So, angel wisdom, the Lord himself, he's ab not He's with you. He's with me. And I haven't left him behind. And if I'm lacking, and if you're lacking of wisdom, it says, let it request for oneself wisdom. So you ask wisdom to come and be with you. He's a person. He's not a good idea, and he's not bits of information. He's a person. Wisdom is a person. It's Jesus Christ. So if you're lacking wisdom, you're lacking Jesus Christ. If you want wisdom, you request Jesus Christ to come and be present with you, not absent. If you have no wisdom, it's because he's absent. You haven't asked him to come and be present with you, or you've left him behind. Okay, that's what it means. And that's why you fail, and that's why you forsake, and that's why you fall short, because he's not present with you. Okay? So you ask him, you request, it says, let him ask for wisdom, which means to request for yourself. You call wisdom and you say, wisdom, come and be with me. And he comes to you. He says, and then I put it, he says, and then I give to them generously. So he puts it, he comes and bees with you. He said, wisdom is not like a download of information. Wisdom is not, textbooks. Wisdom is a person. Let him ask for wisdom. So we request Jesus Christ to come and be with us and be present with us. That's wisdom. That's who he is. And then you have wisdom with you. He puts in place, which is giving, to grant, to give to one, let have, to let somebody have. So he lets you have him. He lets you have him with you. He puts himself in place when you call to him to come and be with you. Okay, generously, I give to them generously, which means bountifully. I ask in faith, it means openly, liberally, simply, frankly, and sincerely. So, just frankly, Jesus Christ is wisdom. Frankly, you want wisdom, you ask Jesus Christ to come and be present with you, not absent from you. That's frank, and that's generous of him because he comes and bees with everybody and he doesn't deny anybody. And then you have wisdom with you. Okay, and he does it without finding fault, it says. So James 1:5 says, without finding fault, which means I reproach, I revile, I upbraid, like showing one's teeth, which means to be disgraced or insult, reproach, to mock, curse, cast blame, incorrect assumption. So he doesn't, there's no, do's to get wisdom. He's saying that I don't find fault with you before I come to you because he is wisdom. You request wisdom to come and be present with you. He comes and be presence with you without finding any reproach in you, any disgrace, any insult, any blame, any incorrect assumptions. He finds no fault with you. He's just an angel who walks up to you and stands and bees with you. And he, now you have wisdom present with you. That's what gives you wisdom. Isn't that amazing? You don't need an education. You don't need a Bible degree. You don't need anything. You don't even have to be out of your faults. You just request wisdom to come with you and to be present with you. And if you do that, you what? You grow with wisdom. You grow in wisdom. He's with you. 1 Corinthians 1:1 says this, Paul, called to be an apostle. Let me pull that up. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And our brother Sothenes. Paul, called to be an apostle. Paul, called to be an apostle. Called means invited. Invited means summoned by God to an office. Right, or called means summoned, called, in invited or summoned to God to salvation. Okay, but he was called to be an apostle. Well, first he was called to salvation, then he's called to be an apostle to grow. Now, invited, called to salvation, so or called to be an apostle, called to an office of apostleship. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is, listen to this, 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's telling you there that Christ is the power of God and Christ is the wisdom of God. Okay, so when he's with you, you have the power, and when he's with you have the wisdom. Power means miraculous power, dunamis power, and gives you the ability to perform. Wisdom of God, we've looked at it earlier, it's the Sophia, which is the intelligence, the skill, the ability, and the knowledge of the natural and the divine. Okay? Romans 1:1 says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, a called apostle. Okay, so first he was called, so he's a called servant, he's a called Christian, he's a called member of the body, he's been called. But he's saying now, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, a called apostle, having been set apart for the gospel of God. So first he was a servant of Christ Jesus. Called to be a servant of Christ Jesus, and he's a called apostle. Okay, having been set apart. Set apart means to be marked off by boundaries, to be set apart from a previous condition or situation. Set apart means to be taken away and appointed to either salvation, which is the start, and then set apart and appointed to office. Okay, you know. I was saved first in 2011. There was a call to salvation. A woman talked to me about Jesus and planted the seed, and then she gave me some discipleship stuff that helped disciple me, and then I, you know, sort out my salvation. It says that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So I went to different churches, I went to different conferences, I read lots of books, I did a lot of prayer, I listened to a lot of worship. I fed my salvation to grow in my salvation, you know. So taking care of myself, and I was, God disciplined me in areas where I wasn't disciplined, sent me to university. sent me to work with children. I worked with children in a school setting. I went in this. I worked for, the call of the apostle was on my life. He called me to be an apostle, but first I had to be. I was called to salvation. The summoning into the invitation. It's, a call is an invitation. He says some are all are called, but only some are chosen to office. Many are called to salvation. Many are called, only few are chosen. What do you do with the calling of salvation? You're invited into the body of Christ as a saved member. So your salvation, you're invited to be saved. So that means, what do I do as a as with my salvation, right? So the calling was, it's what you do in the preparation time, right? Do you obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit to become disciplined, to improve your life, to, I remember I was 6 months, 6 months saved as a Christian, and there was this prompting inside of my spirit that I had to quit smoking, and it was the hardest thing to do. No, I didn't know how to quit smoking. I didn't want to quit smoking, but I had to, and I found this book, and I read it, and prior to that, I'll tell you the story. The Lord, he put in me to quit smoking, and I just wanted to do it so badly. So I thought, I'm going to do it. And because of all the money was going there, so it was also it was not fair, that the Lord was paying for my cigarettes. Now I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to use the money that He's blessed me with to put smoke in my lungs. How can I be called and actually serve in an office for the Lord when I'm filling my body with cigarette smoke? I mean, I'm not even going to func I won't even be alive to fulfill the calling or the office. Okay, so things like that. So firstly, the call to salvation and the invitation to salvation meant to come off drugs, come off alcohol, leave bad relationships, not be in a relationship, focus on the Lord, read the Bible, learn what the Bible says about me, learn how I'm supposed to live as a Christian, learn those things. And He put it into me to stop smoking, and I did stop. I wanted to do it, and this was at the same time that he was putting in me to lose the weight, and I was like 113 kilos or something like that. I had just had a baby, and he put those desires inside me. It was like promptings, like I knew I had to do it. My conscience, because I was reading the Word of God, and I was worshiping, and I was attending church, and I was doing what I had to do as a Christian, and not and pressing upon my conscience to live right, because he's righteous, which means right. So I had to start to live right if I wanted to follow the calling as a saved Christian. Let alone, at those early days, I didn't even know what an apostle was. I wasn't called. I didn't know. I'm the calling for an apostle was on my life because I have an entrepreneurial gift. I've always entrepreneurial means I've, you set up businesses, or you establish new things, and I've always been that. So that entrepreneurial spirit's always been on me, and but it, that call to apostleship, I didn't know what that was, but God, that was what He was preparing me for. 10 years, 11 years down the track, it was a preparation, and there was a lot of work and a lot of preparation in that time. First, he had to clean up my soul and discipline me in my life and in my area of my life, and then he had to transform my life and change my whole life. So that, the smoking, he put it in me to quit smoking. And I did do it. Like, he started to remove the cravings because I really wanted it. So he put the desire in me, and then he gave me the grace to do it. That's how you know when it's God. He puts the desire in you, and then he gives you the grace to carry it out. And which is the ability. He was with me. So I had the power. I had the ability to perform, and the wisdom of God is to quit smoking because that's wisdom. And then I had the power of God, which is the ability to perform the task he's asked me to do. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So I had that because he was with me. So it wasn't always a hard thing. It came naturally. It came, flowed easily because the Lord was with me. Okay, because of the invitation, I've accepted the invitation, and I wanted to pursue what my calling was, of course. So I wanted to do it, and the Lord knew my heart. He knew that's what I wanted. I wanted my calling. All right, and so He put this desire in me. I quit smoking. It was about 2 days. I hadn't had a cigarette, and the cravings were not bad. I remember I didn't struggle with it. And I remember earlier on, somebody had told me about this book about quitting smoking, and this was in a not a Christian. And then I was down at the shop, at the bookshop, and I'd seen this book, and I thought, I remember that book. This non-Christian lady had told me about it, and she gave up smoking with it. Well, at this point, I hadn't had a cigarette for 2 days, and I wasn't struggling. But I bought the book anyway because, somebody had told me about it. So I went home with this book, and I began reading the book. I got halfway through the book, and all of a sudden, these cravings for cigarettes came on me like a ton of bricks. It was so strong, and I couldn't bear it. And I was like, whoa, I can't handle this. That intensity of, needing a cigarette, because I've tried to quit smoking prior to this many times. I used Champix, nicotine, Nicabate, da da da, chucked the smokes out, bought new smokes, cut them out, got lighter smokes, tried to cut down, and I ended up putting holes in the filters to make them stronger. I just kept changing, just the same way I used to do with my drinks. Change the drink, different drink, don't drink on Monday, don't drink at this time. Just all that type of hoo-ha, all that self-effort, it was all not divine faith-filled effort, it was a self-will effort. And by this point, it wasn't like that. So I had these, 2 days I hadn't had it, but I started to go, by faith, God had given me the ability to do it and the desire to do it. Well, out here I am shopping, and I see this book, and I fall, into the natural, because here I am, this lady told me, so I might try her way, not God's way. So I come home, I start reading this book. As I said, halfway through, intense cravings for a cigarette. Haven't had one like that for 2 days. Why am I reading the book? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I wasn't hearing God very clearly. One or two times I've heard. I heard by that point, I heard Him call your daughter Elsa, which means consecrated to God. That's all I heard for her. And, I really didn't hear the Lord audibly. I felt promptings, but I really didn't hear Him audibly. Now He's like a radio station. But then that's all I heard. So I heard Him call your daughter Elsa, and then I heard Him on this day when He said to me, I had already done it for you. So why am I reading a book? He said, why are you reading the book? I had already done it for you. So He had already removed the cravings, and He had already removed it. And here I was, gone back into self-effort to try to do it in reading a book and how to give up smoking. And I guess that's the struggle with the flesh, trying to see how I can do it with the flesh, and when the Lord's already done it for me by His ability, because He's the angel of the Lord, angel of wisdom. Even though I can't see Him, He's with me. Amen. All right. So there's that. And then, the call and the invitation into salvation. So that begun. And then there was a desire in me to start to lose weight, so I got like my fitness pal, and somebody I seen had showed me how to kind of log food. I started to log food, and I was pretty amazed at the amount, because by then all I was eating was fatty food, and I really didn't even know what protein was, or I didn't really have any education around healthy nutritional food. We didn't grow up that way, we lived on Vegemite and fairy bread. So when I came into Christianity, I did not come from a healthy background. We didn't live that way. I didn't know things like that. So I started to log my food. There's this app. So I put it all in there, and I think I was about like now to have 2,000 calories or something, but I was eating nearly double that, and so I could see clearly that that's why I was so overweight, because I was overeating. And in that preparation, and in that teaching, when you put the food in, it shows you what calories, and then it shows you how much protein's in the food, and how many carbs are in the food, and everyone can tell you information, but I'm a bit of a visual learner as well. So when I and I read them right, so I enter the data, read them right, and then I visually see what's going on, and I'm learning. And it's going into me, and I was like, okay, so the Lord was with me, but He's also teaching me. He's showing me here what I'm eating and giving me that information so I could work it out, you know, instead of just thinking I know, I had to like do it. So I'm putting it in and I'm seeing all this stuff I'm eating and I'm like, oh yeah, carbs and protein and, you know, and I started to learn about that stuff. I started to learn like, you know, how many carbs and there was a limit that you should have if you wanted to lose. And, you know, slowly, slowly, as I started to kind of document my day of what I was eating, I started to realize I'm eating too much. So I started to reduce a few things here and there and it started to cut down. Now, at that point, my daughter Elsa was only 3 weeks old. She was 3 weeks old, and I had had her here where I'm living now in Gosford Hospital. And this was, what, 10 years ago in May. And then I started to document that. And then I seen this thing about Michelle Bridges' 12 WBT challenge, and I signed up for that. And there was another girl who wasn't doing that, but she helped me with the food diary, and she was running. Anyway, I was very I'd never exercised in my life, and I was very, very overweight, and I had just had a baby, and my ankles were a bit rolled in as well. So, you know, somebody suggested that before you start exercising, you should go and get a You know, now that I wasn't smoking and all my money wasn't going on cigarettes, because I was smoking nearly a packet of 50s every 2 days. And that was nearly all, any money that I had was going there. So now I had some money left over. And so I thought, okay, I'll go and buy a pair of proper shoes. And I went to Athlete's Foot and I got fitted. And they fitted me and, you know, they seen that my ankles were rolled because of the weight. So they fitted me with proper shoes and gave me shoes where supported my arch correctly, so then I didn't do damage to my body when I'm learning to you know, walk and power walk and start to do some exercise training, because I was going to start to implement some exercise into the diary of food diary now. So I did that, and it was really nice, you know, to have money to be able to buy healthy food now. Like I didn't wasn't able to do that either, because I was on a single parent pension and I had three children on my own, and there were, you know, I was paying nearly $400 a week rent by myself, so there wasn't a whole lot of money left over, and I had a car to run, and I was very early in recovery, so I was only 12 months recovery at that point. Was it 2 years? No, almost 2 years in recovery because of my daughter was 3 weeks old. So she was born in 2012, May, and I got sober in October 2010. So it all happened very quickly for me. You know, the Lord was really with me, and He graced me to do all of this stuff, which I was just so blessed. None of it's my ability. He gave me the ability and the grace. So I got the shoes, and then I started to I signed up for this Michelle Bridges a little bit later. First, I got an Xbox dance. We had an Xbox, so I got a dance DVD, and I started dancing, and oh, it was terrible. I remember I started dancing in the lounge room, and my ex-husband at the time, he had was still coming up to see my children, and he would laugh because it was floorboards, and he laughed because everything was shaking, and I was trying to do the dance moves on the Xbox, and yeah, that wasn't very good for the self-confidence. But yeah, and I thought, well, that's not very encouraging, is it? So, but I kept trying, and I kept doing those dance DVDs, and then I remember I put the baby in the pram, and I thought I'll walk at least, you know. So I'd walk along because I lived at Canton Beach, so I'd walk along Canton Beach walkway with the baby, and dropped my son at the time to school, and my other daughter to daycare, and then I'd just have the baby. So I'd walk them to school, and I'd walk along the walkway, and then I'd go to the basketball courts that were there on the way home from dropping her at school, and I'd started to kind of run with the pram, like around the basketball court, just to try to put a little bit more effort into my movement. and or I'd put her in the middle and I'd run around her, you know. But I was embarrassed about that as well because I was really big and I looked funny. I felt like I looked funny and people were looking at me. They probably weren't, but I was very insecure and paranoid and self-conscious at that point. I really hadn't kind of overcome any of that stuff at that point. So I started to do that stuff. And then as I started to get a little bit more fitter and a little bit more confident, I started to run in my backyard. I'd put the baby once every I come home from dropping the kids and I'll put the baby in a mosquito net kind of rocker and I would run around the backyard so people couldn't see me. And I did like laps and laps of the backyard, you know, at that heavy weight with those shoes, I could do it. And slowly but surely, I started to feel healthier, like I could breathe better. I was had more energy. I felt healthier. There was more air flow getting through my brain and through my body. I was joyful because I didn't feel so sad and depressed about myself. And you know, and then I ended up moving back to Penrith. I went back to my husband to try one more time to see if that could work with the kids. And that didn't really work. I did that for a year, but I was still really focused on my fitness and I was pretty heavily involved in a fellowship down there for recovery. And I was very heavily involved actually. I was very structured there, very grounded, did a lot of meetings, did a lot of work, a lot of work. And the kids went to private school down there. I joined the parent committee. I was about 3 years, 2.5, 3 years sober by this point. You know, I was listening still to worship, still praying, still going to conferences and tent meetings. I would look up all famous apostles and prophets and preachers that would come visiting, itinerant ministers that would come visit our country, and I would go to them. You know, like people like I've seen Heidi Baker live. I've met Georgiann Banov, Sean Foote, who else? Miranda Nelson, Brian Simmons, the translator of the Passion Translation. Any people that came like that, I would find them. I would hunt them down. I would go to their websites. I would look up their itinerary. Isabel Allum, who's a prophet. I would find them, look at their itineraries on their website, see when they're all coming to Australia, and I'd put them in my calendar, and then I would book well in advance because tickets always sold out to try to get to these people's conferences because, you know, apostles and prophets are gifts to the body of Christ. They're the ones that have the impartation of the Holy Spirit, and they actually give you your gift and your ministry that comes from the apostles, right? So I'd search all this stuff out and be ready for it, and I would do all that. And like Doug Stanton, he came with a tent one time and took my husband up to that tent, got him to fall out under the Spirit, but you know, that didn't. You can't call people, only God can. And then I got a job down there. I went to university, you know, and then I started working for the university, and my job description was in the Office of Widening Participation. Okay, which is really linked to the Apostle Call because it's I worked for in the Office of Widening Participation, and an office of apostle is to widen the participation of the people in the church. So God was really preparing me. And you know, I by that time my ex had left and I was working full time, not full time but permanent part time. And you know, I'd drop the kids to before and after school care and I'd get to work and then I'll come back home. And I was doing all of this as well, getting to glory conferences so I can seek out my calling and also getting to church and being a part of the church and also going to my regular attendance at the fellowship, you know, AA meetings and meeting with the sponsor once a week face to face to do the work. So, you know, I was doing a lot and I was also attending the kids' school and I was present as a I was part of the PNF, and I was also the delegate for that conference that they ran, and I was the class the year one class representative for the parents, so they would always contact me if they needed anything, or if there was any issues with their children in the year one classroom. I was the parent rep, so then the parents would come to me with their stuff, and I would be able to take it to the teacher, or I'll take and then I can take it up further into the parent committee. So I was involved, and then with AAI, I didn't join the area at that point. We started a, I was in a group, but I would go to area functions and a little bit and get to know kind of how it all works. So I was involved, I'm involved in the things that I was doing. And all of this is, in my salvation. And all of this is, God, he wants to see that you're a worker, that you're not lazy, that you're willing to put in the work before he releases you with power and ability. Because if you get just ability and power, you're going to use it for yourself. So he wants to see, are you going to actually do what you said you're going to do? So he wants to see you put in the effort, and he wants to see you not be lazy. He wants to see you actually front up and do what you said you're going to do. And I wanted it all. I wanted to do as my, I wanted my whole calling, whatever that was, I wanted it. And then I joined a little local church down there, and by the end of that, when my ex-husband just wasn't coming to the Lord, he wasn't interested. He went to a couple of conferences, and he felt the presence of the Holy Spirit, but he had a lot of pride and rebellion, and he rejected Christ. He didn't receive him. He didn't want Christ. He still wanted to have his old life. And my calling was to be an apostle, and the Lord had summoned me to salvation, and he had prepared me, was preparing me in discipline in my normal life. And my ex-husband wasn't interested in any of that. He was just wanting, apostles are called to have boundaries. It's, it says that we're set apart. So it means set apart means we're marked off by boundaries, marked off by our previous condition. So you have to be, want to get rid of your old condition and want to change. So, when that desire is put inside of you, you want to change. He didn't want to change and serve the Lord. So that didn't work out. And we could have had that, but I was obedient to Christ and he wasn't, and because of that, the marriage wasn't able to be saved. If he was become obedient to Christ, we could have had the marriage saved, and it would have been different, but that's not how it was. God did give the he God in his mercy did offer the invitation of salvation to him to come along for the ride, to come along for the journey and be a part of it, but he didn't want it. So he went off, and obviously I was distressed and broken and very depressed and upset, because I really wanted that as well. But I wanted a better life more than a person. I wanted the Lord. So I found a glory church, and I went there, and they started to pray over me and release fire, and they'd prophesy to me, and I really didn't understand what they were talking. It sounded like it was like they were alive, and they were talking to me, a dead person. Even though all of my life in the natural was more together and disciplined and things were right, I was still spiritually dead. I had the Lord with me, but I hadn't had my spirit regenerated. My spirit wasn't regenerated, and he was with me there. So I ended up, I thought, all right, I wanted that. I felt really dead spiritually, so I wanted to go. So I thought, I'm going to go to Bethel, the supernatural school of prophets, and I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to learn how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit and learn about the anointing and learn about, Spirit. Once I'd made that decision in my heart, I thought, I'm going to sell everything that I own, and I can probably just get enough money to go. And I rang up the school over there, the Christian school, about getting my kids in. So I was very serious about it. It wasn't just a fleeting idea. I was putting, as usual, the action in to actually get the result. And that's what my intention was very much so to do that. And the Lord put across my page on Facebook some guy. Now, prior to that, I'd gone and seen Georgian Banoff, who carries a, he's an apostle, and he has a real fire which burns off every hindrance to your destiny path. And that's what happened. And I come home, and this guy put something on my Facebook, and another apostle crossed my page with one of his videos. And I ended up watching that, and I think this it was definitely the second week of, because he used to only do it every Friday. And that was Brandon Barthrop from Red Letter Ministries. So he'd watched that was on a Friday, but it was Jacob Tiedema that actually put a video on my page. And Jacob operates like in the glory. He has like gold dust and gems and things like that. And he put on my page Shigi Baba, which was one of the words Georgian Banov used, and he had a song called Shigi Baba. So it highlighted to me that he knew Georgian. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to him. And then Jacob shared one of Brandon's videos, and I clicked on that, and I was like, straight away, I my spirit witnessed with what I was watching and hearing by his spirit. And it was the second week, the second video that, the second Friday that he put up. It was like a I used to watch it live. I didn't watch reruns or anything like that. I mean, I did do watch reruns of all his stuff late at night, but I never missed a live one because it was like I was going to church. It was like I was actually being present for him and with him. So I was one, we're watching it at the same time. So I'm receiving what's happening in the spirit at that time. Later, it's not the same. Like, yes, it's timeless and God's timeless, and but there's a very different, something very different about being present when somebody's presenting to you. There's an honor, there's a receptive, you receive what's on the person, you know? You've got to be present and really want it. And that's what he, anyway, if he put that up. He went live the second week on the Friday night. He used to go live Friday night 7. So I watched, I logged in, and I was the anointing just came over like a oil liquid, and it stuck me to the ground. We couldn't get up. They couldn't get up. I could see that they couldn't get up. We were all just so drunk on the Holy Spirit, and that was the first time that I'd ever felt that infilling of the Spirit. Prior to that, sorry, the week, so I had Georgian the week before that. The week before that, I had Isabel Alum, who's a prophet, and she told me that the Lord was coming to clear out and rearrange and refurnish and pretty much coming to deliver me. So he came to deliver me through Brandon's video, which was the anointing off Brandon's life, and that came through me and delivered me. And and then I watched and connected with Brandon on Facebook, and it's hard to explain, but there was just the Bible talks about the apostles and their spirits are with you, and Paul used to say to the Corinthian church, and he was in another location, and he would write to them because there was no Facebook back then, but he'd write them a letter and say, "I can see what you're doing. Stop doing it." You're still sinning. You're now a born again Christian. You have to stop that immorality. You have to stop sleeping with each other. You have to stop taking, living like animals and beasts. That's what Paul would say to the Corinthian church. He's like, he's not even there, but he could see. And you read that in the Bible. And it was like that with Brandon. He could see everything that I was doing, and he'd be able to post stuff, and it would be speaking directly to my spirit. And then there'd be like this Holy Spirit would just use him as a tool to lead me. And because I was, it was confirmed, got Holy Spirit confirmed through him that I was hearing correctly, and that the spirit indeed was in me, and I could really be led that way, and that's how he discipled me, and it was incredible, really, that how God did that. So from that point, from September, which was Rosh Hashanah, until December. So for that 3 months of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's the Jewish calendar. We were feasting, and I was eating and feasting and drinking, and I was in the glory and learning how to kind of be in the presence of God, and learning, how to kind of operate with and partnership with the Lord, because I would start to feel real impressions about things to do. And I would do them, and they would end up being confirmed and correct. And I'd be like, yes, okay, I'm really hearing God here. And in that time, he asked me to pull the children out of school. So I pulled them out of school, got them registered for homeschooling, and we homeschooled them. And we all kind of just stayed in the presence together. And that's just what he asked me to do. And I can see now that the reason he called me to homeschool was because it was for my calling later on. I couldn't be called to be an apostle. An apostle's a missionary. They're sent to different cities as the government authority of God in that city, and they have the power over every demonic power in that city when they're sent into a region. And I've moved from city to city, house to house, and the reason for that is to bring the government authority of the apostle of God. Can't do that with children in school and living a normal life, My whole life had to change. So I did that, pulled them out of school, and came up here. Then we moved around, sorry, and yeah, I was drinking and feasting on the Word of God and all on the prophets, and not just Brandon. I started to really find all the prophets and the apostles, and I started to read the Bible clearer than I've ever read it before, and it started to make sense this time because I had the anointing now was on me. And everything started to make sense, and it became more real, and it was going in my spirit, and I was feel like I was becoming the Word. I felt like I was, Jesus was being formed inside of me. I was becoming this living epistle, like the Bible talks about. And it was very real, and there was trances and experiences with heaven, and real encounters with the angelic and the cloud of witnesses, and all of that cool, fun stuff. And the spirit was just becoming very real, real, real creative spirit all the way through all things. I could see it. And I was, the eyes of my spirit were being enlightened, like it says in Ephesians, the lights were coming on, and I was becoming alive. So then in January 2014, there was like a real humbling of my pride, which was really the Lord just coming inside of my body and showing me that, just dealing with my heart in areas that hadn't been dealt with, and showing me the body of Christ. I guess I could say it like that. Like, it's hard to explain spiritual experiences and the way it is, but I'm trying to give some type of I don't know what we're doing here. I've never done this, but he tried to show me. He showed me the body of Christ. He showed me his people, and he showed me where they're placed, and he showed me who they are, and he showed me him operating in his people, and that he has his people established all over the globe. And he showed me who his teachers and his prophets and his apostles, and how his church operates, and how the demonic operates. So begin to teach me all of that stuff. And then the next season was just a season of learning to of warfare, really. It was spiritual warfare, and learning how to overcome the enemy, and seeing the strongholds of cities and nations and of people's lives, and demonic oppression and possession. And he was teaching me how to deliver people, and I was doing deliverances and casting demons out and things like that. So yeah, it was a very intense time, but very tra a time of training and learning. So then we got through that season, and he called me to move cities. He sent me into a city, and look, that's been the pattern. And from there, it's just been learning. He's established different things in my ministry, which is he started with small things like food programs and praying for people and teaching Bible study. And then he, I was doing the healing meal every Saturday, with no audience, but it was all about faithfulness and showing up when we could, and showing up even though people weren't coming and receiving from me, I was still doing what God asked me to do. Yeah, it's a, and it says, that, the program for David was different, the program for Moses was different, the program for Meredith is different, I'm called as an apostle, so my training was different, my preparation was different, and I'm gonna read a little bit about what that looks like. I'm gonna read a bit about this apostle. So, Responsibilities of an Apostle by Paul Thornton. Number one, most apostles do not start out as an apostle. The initial characteristic of the apostolic call is first and foremost is that they are a preacher and a teacher of the Word of God. Everything they preach and teach is based upon and revealed truth in Scripture. 1 Timothy 2:7. Most apostles start out in other areas of ministry first, and then once they're proven in that area, if the apostolic call is upon them, then God moves them into that level of ministry. Number two, 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Apostles train and equip faithful men who in turn train and equip others. The apostles' heart is to see people grow and function in their callings. Three, 2 Timothy 1:6. An apostle is able to activate, stir up and release the gifting in people's lives. An apostle is able to impart the grace and the anointing that's needed for someone to walk in his or her calling. He's able to release gifts and ministries within a believer in order to set them on course for their own ministry. An apostle is able to impart what is lacking so the believer can rise to full maturity. 4. 1 Timothy 4:14. Apostles are spiritual fathers or mothers. As fathers or mothers, they birth, they protect, teach, and mentor sons. An apostle has the ability to attract sons, and he can reproduce himself in through apostolic impartation. Okay, so an apostle reproduces themselves in others. That's the whole point of it. An apostle is able to help people grow into their full potential in Christ. Impartation. The ability to plant a seed form in the spirit of other people, what the apostle possesses in their own life, call and ministry. With the impartation comes multiplication of the apostle's ministry. The son he is training are reproducing his work. Okay? He is extending himself through them. So now his work goes to more places and touches more lives than he, though, even though he's not there himself. The apostles that we see in Scripture laid the foundation of kingdom principles that we have now. Modern day apostles do not write the Scriptures or expand on the Scriptures that's written. They build upon the foundation that's already been laid in Christ. The apostle promotes Christ as the firm foundation for all life. Apostles lay foundation in the lives of God's people in order to prepare them for the coming move of God. 6. Apostles are people of character. Philippians 3:8-10. Paul aspired to be like the Lord Jesus, and he had encountered on the Damascus Road. He desired this not only for himself, but all of those who were under his apostolic oversight. Galatians 4:19. He had a passion to see Christ formed and reproduced in his spiritual sons and daughters. 7. Apostles have received the grace to suffer for Christ. Acts 9:15-16 and Acts 20:17-24. Paul recognized that suffering and affliction went along with the call, and he was willing so that the word of God would multiply in the lives of others. Along with the suffering comes the wisdom and the stamina to deal with it. Number 8, apostles have access to revelation and unfolding mysteries. Galatians 1:11 and 12. And this is how Paul received his calling and was able to write two to three parts of the New Testament. The apostles were given the revelation of the hidden mysteries concerning the believers of Christ and Christ in the believers. Apostles were able to bring understanding of the Old Testament scriptures and interpret them for relevance of their day, i.e. Acts 2:14 to 21. Peter took the Old Testament prophecy of Joel and he was able to bring understanding and revelation to that day. Apostles are able to bring insight to the body of Christ concerning the purposes and the plans of God. Number 9. Apostolic ministry doesn't just affect the local church, but it affects cities, regions, and nations. Paul's ministry affected city after city. Signs and wonders followed in each city. Acts 19:8-12, not only does the apostolic gift affect the people in a city or region, but it also the spirits that govern that area. An apostle who is sent to a city has governmental authority in that city, in the spirit over those demons there. The apostolic anointing can free up a city, a region, or a nation from demonic strongholds. Number 10. Apostles bring order and government to the church. Government is necessary to facilitate the flow of God's power and anointing. Titus 1:5. 11. Apostles are wise master builders. They help to build strong churches. They are responsible for overseeing the building and construction of the house of God. 12. Apostles bring judgment and correction to the church. They issue sentences and verdicts against false teaching and incorrect behavior. 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. 13. Apostles are bishops. To be a bishop means to oversee. Apostles oversee churches. 14. Apostles ordain and set in place qualified leadership. This includes selection and confirmation. 15. The apostolic anointing is a confrontational anointing. Apostles confront false teaching, witchcraft, immorality, and anything that will keep the church from fulfilling its purpose. All right, and I just wanted to quickly look at tithing. Tithing rebukes the devourer off your life. Now, apostles are a tithe to the church. So an apostle in your life will rebuke the devourer off your life because the apostle has tithed their entire life. So they are the gift to the church. So is a prophet, a teacher, evangelist, and a pastor. You know, when they're in their calling or in their office, not just when they've got a calling to it, but when they're operating from the office of it. When they're seated in their office and they're sent, and then you're under that apostolic covering, that they have tithed, which means to bring their full soul, their full life into the glory, into the Christ, into the servanthood of the ministry. And so when you're in the ministry, when you're establishing as a missionary, you don't have a pay. There is no income because you're discipling and bringing in new converts. New converts don't even understand the principle of tithing, let alone a principle of, I mean, we're teaching new converts not to be immoral, for God's sakes. We're teaching new converts to stop, you know, to quit smoking. We're teaching new converts to, you know, stop swearing. We're teaching new converts to stop, you know, sleeping around, this stuff. So that's the Western and the new modern age, you know. Paul was dealing with different stuff. It was more debauchery down there, what Paul had to deal with, because there was little spirit of God in the earth to actually convict people's hearts to live the right way. We've got more spirit available to us today, so the conviction's available. The hearts are hardened with pride and ego, and you know, the programming of the world is so intense through the indoctrination of the school system that people are so programmed in their way of living that to actually break through that programming of their mind, like they're so bound up in just the sensual world, you know, the natural world. Everything they do is natural. My, you know, feelings and all their day-to-day activity, like they're not disciplined to read anything. the Bible. They don't discipline them. They don't meditate to fix their brain waves. They can't, to put a exercise program in place. I mean, we're taking people from really from the pit, to the try to get them into the palace. That's and doing it in the modern age. It's so there is no, you don't come into an apostleship with a, you build that. You're building, you're bringing converts, and then you're discipling converts. And how you disciple them is going to be how it's going to be established in that region. So you're trying to train them up in, righteousness, the Bible says, which means to live the right way. And on top of that, you have to deal with all the snakes that they got, which is, means they're going to come out and they bite, and they bite you because they don't like what you the teaching of Christ. So they want salvation, but they don't want to change. They don't want to learn discipline because it means they have to crucify their flesh. They have to deny themselves. They have to learn how to operate in a different way. That as an apostle, you're set apart with marked boundaries around your life, and so you're addressing stuff all the time to bring them into a calling because they want their calling, which means they're also going to have boundaries, which is don't do that because that's not good for you. That's going to hurt you. You can't be in leadership if you're doing these things. That has to change. This has to change. So it's a constant correction. And the only thing that you're going to be dealing with mainly is the offended human heart and the human mind. It's very carnal and natural, and they want to be the natural man, but they want the spiritual calling, or they want their spiritual calling to be a natural calling, but it doesn't work that way. If you want a natural calling, you go live in the natural world. If you want a spiritual calling, you have to be prepared to die. And it's any time correction hurts you, it's because you have not died to yourself in that area, because you still want what you want. The will has to go. But that's discipleship of the spirit, and that's what we need, and that's what's being re-established back into the body of Christ and into the church. We're not watering down a gospel that's going to feed you what you want to hear. We're going to feed you what you need to hear to get to your calling, so you can actually fulfill your office in the kingdom, and have wisdom with you. He'll operate, and because wisdom will operate and will give you wisdom and the grace to operate in your calling and in your office. So these gifts to the body, it says in Ephesians, these are gifts to the body, and the gifts are apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. They're the gifts to the office. So you can get You receive the gift from an apostle, or you receive the gift of the apostle, right? So that's their tithe. That's their tithe to the body of Christ. But an apostle will still tithe to the apostle that discipled them, that brought them into the that commissioned them, that confirmed them. You still You tithe to every, 10% of everything that comes into your bank account goes to the apostles, right? That's how it works. So any 10% of everything that hits the bank account goes to the apostles. So they're paid for being the rebuke of the rebuke to the devourer in your life. Because you need to have the devourer rebuked, and that's just the way that God set up his kingdom. So we keep the devourer rebuked, and the devourer is he comes in to, if you look it up in the scriptures, he's the one that comes in and he ruins all of your hard work and tries to destroy your crops. So if you don't have a if you yeah that's the model of the kingdom. Amen. And that tithing and prayer, your prayer life and your discipleship should all be first. There shouldn't be anything before that. If you keep those three things in before you, and always, no matter what, nothing comes before those three things, you'll do well and you will fulfill your calling. You will fulfill who you're called to be. Amen. All right, so that's all I got for this morning. It was a bit of a yarn, but God bless you guys, and God keep you until next time.